Author Raymond Carver died at age 50 this week in 1988. Carver was famous for stories capturing the searing drama of everyday life, from divorce and alcoholism to small-town gossip. His Fishermen and Mechanics might have been inspired by figures from his boyhood in Yakima, but as Northwest Public Radio's Rowan Moore Garrity reports, the success of one of Yakima's favorite sons was neither expected nor much celebrated.
When the New York Times published a Sunday spread on Carver in the spring of 1981, his stark stories about loneliness and bruised relationships had already earned him a Guggenheim Fellowship and a nomination for a National Book Award. He'd won the most prestigious prize in short story writing 3 times. So a high school classmate of Carver's brought the newspaper clipping to share with friends on a trip back home.
She came to Yakima to visit and went to the library, and the library in Yakima had never heard of him.
That's Joy Gerritsen, another classmate of Carver's from middle school on.
And she was just astounded, and it kind of gave them a lecture, I think.
Another Yakima notable, Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas, had a federal wilderness named for him. A large painted sign marks the site of the Yakima home where he lived in high school. Carver's books are in libraries here today, and also in the curriculum at the local community college. But there are no memorials to speak of. For old friends like Gerritsen, that anonymity is right in line with the Carver they knew growing up.
He blended in, and he never stood out. He really never seemed to excel in anything.
Here's another childhood companion of Carver's, Nick Rasmussen.
The average kid that came out of that neighborhood did not succeed in life.
Though Carver grew up in the boom years following World War II, he spent much of his childhood in a hardscrabble part of town in a house with no indoor plumbing. His father, Ray Sr., worked at the sawmill and often drank a good portion of his paycheck. Rasmussen remembered Carver as a quiet, unremarkable kid.
He was just one of the guys to me.
But family friends of the Carvers, like 95-year-old Buey Davis and his son Larry, say they did see some signs of Carver's ambition.
I know his aunt would talk about Raymond wanted to write stories. It didn't amount to anything, you know, and no, nobody thought anything about it, actually. She thought he was kind of wasting his time.
Instead of doing something more worthwhile, like picking cherries or harvesting hops, Carver called that unimaginably hard work. But he never stopped writing. Larry Davis, who played with Carver as a boy, says his friend's imagination showed through in other ways, too.
He and his brother and I would sleep out in their backyard, you know, on hot summer nights, and he would tell these scary stories that were really scary enough that his brother and I would go in the house.
Those stories featured the aliens and axe murderers of the pulp fiction Carver read as a boy. At Yakima High in the mid-1950s, he was a middling student who covered sports for the school paper and wrote yarns inspired by weekend fishing trips. But, says classmate Lucy Valderhaug,
it's interesting to look back and see that there was something about him.
She says Carver was a loner wrapped in a tough exterior.
When he walked down the hall, he would walk next to the wall.
He slumped and kept a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve like James Dean.
Okay.
Flipping through the yearbook, Valderhaug says most of all, Carver was fast.
You see that look? See that hair?
Being fast meant drinking and cutting class. For Carver, perhaps it was an escape from a home life where the dream of writing never seemed realistic. In a way, he lived fast as an adult, too. As Carver himself famously said, he wrote short stories and poems because he couldn't afford to take the time to finish a novel. In Yakima, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity, Northwest Public Radio News.